Psalm meditation today is from Psalm 4. Please turn there with me in your New King James Bible, Psalm 4. We'll read responsively as we usually do. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. How long has it been since you have felt similar things to the psalmist here? We read here that this is a psalm of David. It is to the chief musician with stringed instruments, and that's all we know about it. No other circumstances. David was beset by those who sought to tear him down, who would heed nothing of what he was trying to teach them. How often this has happened. But eventually, as he comes to the end of this psalm, he finds his joy, true joy, in the Lord. That is where we find it ourselves. Now, since we cannot tie this in any way with David, we cannot speak to how it related to a particular circumstance or anything of the sort. We do not know the occasion at all. We do see application, of course, for believers, that there is always going to be contradiction from sinners. There is always going to be those who think our message is foolishness, who seek to slander us, who seek to destroy our glory, so to speak. There's always going to be that. You're going to have to face that. Don't be surprised, Peter says, when fiery trials come upon you. But your joy you shall find in Jesus Christ. Now, how can we know this is the case? Because in all this, supremely, Jesus knows. In all this, Jesus supremely is being spoken of here in Psalm 4. The occasion, of course, is something in David's life. And certainly there are things here that apply to all believers. But they only apply because he who is the one that has been the pioneer, the firstborn, the forerunner, that one, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone through all this for us that we might have deliverance in difficulty. All right. Can you not hear the voice of Jesus when you read, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You've relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Can you not hear him? Perhaps up on a mountain above the Sea of Galilee. Can you not hear him when he gathers the disciples to himself after disappointment, after rejection, and seeks for a time to rest? Can you not hear his voice in these words when you think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you not hear echoes of the Savior with his cries upon the cross? do you not think, if you know your Bible well anyway, of how this seems to go along so very well with the voice of wisdom in Proverbs 1 and in Proverbs chapter 8? Wisdom who cries out to the fools, who cries out to the simpletons, to heed, to listen, to gain wisdom. How long, says Jesus through the mouth of David here, will you seek after vanity and lies? How long, says wisdom, will you seek after foolishness? How long, the Lord Jesus might properly have said, O you sons of men, here in verse 2, will you turn my glory to shame? Oh, think of him in those instances we've been looking at in the Gospel of John in recent weeks. All that time around that last feast of booths in the fall before his betrayal and death. Think of him in John chapter 10 that recently we've been looking at in December in the feast of dedication, what we often call Hanukkah, where they took the glory of Jesus, these leaders of the Jews and those who followed after him, and sought to destroy it. They would label him anything that they could, except his true name. They would label him anything they could in order that they might drive the people away from him and keep to themselves the esteem of the people. They turned his glory to shame. They loved worthlessness and sought after falsehood. Nonetheless, though they desired to kill him, they tried to kill him, as we saw a number of times in the Gospel of John, and we shall be seeing more as we go further and further through it. The Lord, that is Jehovah, set apart for himself him who is godly. Who, above all, can we say was godly? Is it not the Lord Jesus Christ, who was set apart and protected and kept from harm in every difficult circumstance because it was not yet his time? The Lord heard when Jesus cried to him. Oh, think now, friends, in the midst of your afflictions, your trials, your troubles, how every single time the Lord has delivered you. Why? Because you're godly? Why? Because you are desirable? No, it's nothing of that sort. It is only because you have one who went through all this. It is only because you are in him who is the beloved that you have a return on your prayers, that you have promises that you can rely upon. It's because of Jesus who bore all this contradiction of sinners, that you have yourself a God, a Father, who delivers you. In response then, Jesus here, we might think of him saying, be angry and do not sin. The Apostle Paul quotes from this in Ephesians 4, of course. Calling upon these who hate him, calling upon these who reject him, calling upon these who say, we will not have this man to reign over us, even as many years before there were those who followed Saul in his saying, I will not have this David to reign over me. He calls upon them to meditate within their hearts on their bed and be still. Think about what you're doing. Think about whom you are rejecting. Shall there be safety for you? By no means. Rather, these are called upon to offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put their trust in Jehovah. What are these sacrifices of righteousness? Well, in Old Testament days, they were the types and shadows and forms of him who would come. They pictured the shedding of the blood of the righteous one of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, him who is called the Lord our righteousness, him who is called the end of the law for righteousness. Here is old covenant language with a new covenant meaning, pointing these people, saying, put your trust on me. That is the word of Jesus. Believe in me. He says in John 15, I'm not exactly sure now, but you believe in God, believe also in me. In any case, there are many who say, who will show us any good? They look around for one thing and another to satisfy their souls because they will not satisfy themselves in their Creator. We know where satisfaction is. It is in the light of the countenance of God, and it is in the believer. Because it is in Jesus that there is gladness in the hearts as God sets His favor upon us. People around the world, people in every land, when the harvest comes in, are joyful and glad. They rejoice with feasting and with drinking. It's a glad time, but far more glad, far more joyful. Is when we know we are in union and communion with the Father through Jesus Christ. He had that joy, friends, when His work on the cross was done. When He had borne the wrath and curse of His Father, legally due to Him, because He had taken upon Himself the legal responsibility for His people's sin. But when it was done, with relief and joy, having delivered His people, He could say, it is finished, and into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so it was, He was able to go to the grave for a short time in peace and sleep there in the grave. For there He did not go down, conquered by the people's sin, conquered by the evil one, conquered by death. No, He dwelt there. In that carved out hollow place owned by Joseph of Arimathea, there He dwelt in safety, and on the third day rose again for the deliverance of His people. Now often we use this last verse here as a little lullaby for our little children, and it's appropriate for that. But we as believers and our seed only have that faith because we are safe in Jesus, who Himself was safe in His Father, having fulfilled all His Father's will. Well, let's sing.